Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
They roughed you up. We're going to go pay them back. And he says, so I want you to wipe them out, completely destroy them, remove their name from the earth. All the men, all the women, all the children, all the sheep, the cattle, even the donkeys, everything completely gone. I want you to go and take care of business. And so he tells King Saul this, and so King Saul rustles up thousands of troops. It says that 10,000 soldiers came from Judah alone. And they're marching down to the Amalekites, and they're going to totally destroy them. They enter into battle, and King Saul takes their king, Agag, and as prisoner, killing all of the people. They then sweep in and take all of the best of the sheep and the cattle and the herds to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. And they totally destroyed the people. Sounds like he obeyed, doesn't it? Everybody tracking with me? It sounds like he obeyed, but it was just partial obedience. And whenever God has called us to do something, how many of y'all feel like you do it a little bit, but it's not the fullness of what he's called you to do? And I just want to say that half obedience is not full obedience, and partial obedience is actually disobedience. If I tell my son to clean his room and he cleans half of it, did he really obey what I said to clean your room? That wasn't obedience. He was just trying to appease dad. He was just trying to do enough to go out with his buddies, maybe. Who knows? He's 9. He doesn't go out with his buddies. But partial obedience, and I just want to encourage us this morning, Quentin, if you've got the slides ready, partial obedience is not complete obedience. And where are the areas in our lives where maybe we don't have complete obedience unto the Lord? Jump with me here in 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we'll go to verse 10. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, and God said, I am grieved that I made Saul the king, because he has turned away from me. He's not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up, and he went to meet Saul, but he was told Saul has gone to Carmel. There he had set up a monument into his own honor, and he has turned and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel reached him, and Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, what then is that bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of the cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. Stop it. Isn't that just a great prophetic word? The prophet comes in and he says, stop it. Samuel said to Saul, let me tell you what the Lord said. Tell me, Saul replied. If I could just encourage you, if you ever are around a prophet or a prophetic person and they say, let me tell you what the Lord said, just get really quiet. Don't say, tell me. Don't say, bring it on. You better hit the deck and get really humble at this point, especially after you just build an altar to yourself. You better hit the carpet real fast. Tell me, verse 17, Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you the king of Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy the wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them until you've wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission that the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites. I brought back Agag, their king. Their soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder and the best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, God has rejected you as king." Whew. It gets real heavy, real fast. The word Amalek means flesh, or of the flesh. And we see that King Saul is supposed to go wipe out the flesh. He's supposed to go wipe out those sinful things that are going on. These were the very people that attacked the people of Israel. Also, the Amalekites, they had a certain strategy whenever it came to war, and they didn't face you and they didn't attack you full frontal. They would divide and go around you, and they would attack the weak in the back. They wouldn't attack the strong men in front. They would pick off the women and children in the back, and they would start making their way that way. They were ruthless. They were strategic. They were smart. They picked off the weary and the weak and the tired and the broken and the lame. Many times our flesh does the same things. It picks us off when we're weak and when we're tired. It doesn't always attack us in our strong areas. I know many times I get attacked whenever I'm tired, whenever I'm weak, when I'm frustrated. Things come inside of me at that point. And we are called to overcome the Amalekites. That thing that's that selfish, that fleshly, that sinful carnal nature. And yet it's smart. It knows how to get around. It knows how to hide those secret sins in our lives. They know how to dance around, and they slowly defeat us over the course of time. Agag, the king of the Amalekites, Agag means "I will overcome." That's the meaning of his name. I will overcome. The very same thing that we are supposed to overcome, it seems like we never can defeat that one thing, that bad habit, that one hang up, that old addiction, that one thing that we would love to get rid of in our best self. We're not tied to that. But man, I just enjoy it too much. It's like I got this little pet friend that I like to keep in my side pocket. And it just comforts me at times. It's this thing of the flesh that I should take dominion of, but it continues to rule over me. I should have killed King Agag, but I didn't. I brought him in closer. Fascinating, huh? Also, he says, you were supposed to wipe out all of the sheep, the cattle, everything. Why did you keep some? It's interesting, the things of our flesh, we just kind of want to keep around. And I don't really need all this other stuff, but there's a few things that I just want. I want to keep them. And God has told you, that's got to go. That stuff has got to go. But are you sure, God? Also, check out the leadership of King Saul. He just was anointed king. The prophet shows up, which would put the fear of God in me, and he blame shifts. He says, "Hey, why did you keep all these sheep and cattle and things like that?" And he says, the other men did. The soldiers, they brought them back. And we're going to make a sacrifice to the Lord or something. I don't know. These guys are crazy. I don't know what they're thinking. But they're here now, and they happen just to be the best. And so we'll offer those to the Lord. Also, when the prophet shows up, he says, "Hey, did you do what God said?" He's like, "Yeah, I totally did it. I did everything that he called me to do." What's that bleeding of sheep I hear? Oh, and cows too. I hear something, King Saul. Anybody ever been caught with your hand in the cookie jar? and you've been caught. No, it was everybody else. The leader starts blame shifting and he's caught. And the man of God comes and challenges him on it. Perhaps there's things that God has called you to do and you just aren't doing it. I know this happened in my life. I'll share a couple stories where I didn't do it. And a couple of times whenever I did. One in particular was a relationship that just wasn't good. And there was just ill will toward one another back and forth. And I knew it was on me to go ask for forgiveness. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll get around to it. And God said, do it and go ask for forgiveness. That's probably a good idea. I just didn't want to. That thing in the flesh, I could not overcome. There was kind of some self-preservation. The ego was just too big. It was in the way to allow myself to be humble. I'm not going to do it. Saw him, talked to him. Hey, you know, how you doing? Great. Yeah, good. All right, good. See, God, I talked to him. The relationship's fine. We're good. Time heals all. We'll just move on. He said, I didn't ask you to talk to him about the weather. I didn't ask you to talk to him about sports. I told you to ask for forgiveness, to hit the deck, to repent, to restore relationship, not just to try to smooth over. He's like, you missed it. Ugh. Anybody know that sick feeling of conviction? I didn't need a prophet. It was God speaking directly to me. Ugh. I said, God, next time I see him, I will see him, and I will say this. And the next time that I saw them, it was at just such a not awesome occasion. It was at some sort of a formal event, and go up to him like, hey, I just need to talk. Can we peel off to the side? And we went over to the side and just poured it out and shared. And I'll tell you, there was just a reconnection, just a reconciliation. And God will honor us when we honor him in obedience. God will meet you in that place of obedience. Life can get really hard. Relationships can get really rocky, especially if we think partial obedience will get it done. Another time, whenever, I don't know why, but he speaks to me a lot whenever I'm standing in the line at the grocery store. Compassion hits me. I'm just like, let's buy everybody's groceries. I don't know why, but that's what happens. I'll tell you next time I'm going to the grocery store if y'all want to meet me there. Seems like that's when it happens. But one time, in there, and God's telling me that you need to buy the groceries, and it feels like, oh, I don't want them to feel bad. I don't want them to feel, you know, like, hey, I can buy my own groceries, back off. And it's just me assuming. I'm like playing out this script that's not even real. We already had this conversation. They don't even know me. We've never talked, but in my mind, we've had this conversation, and I just kind of move on, and I just don't, and I didn't do it. It's a person behind me. I'm walking out, and he says, you just totally missed it. You're disobeying me. And it was clear. It was obvious. So I want you to buy their groceries. I want you to take their bags to the car. Serve them. Have a conversation. Walk them out. Turn around. Go back in. Hey, I would just like to buy these groceries here for you. Oh, no. Yeah, let's do it. And you do this thing, and you're just kind of dancing around and just kind of waiting, like, let's hurry this thing up. And you know, it's just awkward for everybody. And so then we get the hey, all right, great. Hey, here's your sweet. Great, thank you so much. And peel out, and the Lord hits me. He's like, you're disobeying me. I'm like, no, I just crushed it. I just did it. He's like, partial obedience is disobedience. I said, I want you to grab the groceries and walk them to their car. Oh, man. Okay. Here we go. I'm sorry. It's me again. I hear clearly. I just don't obey very well. And so I'm like a golden retriever puppy dog. And I get really excited about stuff, and I forget what I'm supposed to do. So anyway, can I help carry these groceries back and get into this conversation, open the door, serve them? And I think it was more about me than it was about what God wanted to buy for them. And maybe it was for them as well, but God was working something out in me. Where is it that God said, you need to go ask for forgiveness, you need to buy this, you need to have this conversation, I asked you as a dad to humble yourself before your children. And you need to ask your kids for forgiveness. You know, your attitude's not good, and you need to go before your spouse and your wife. You need to hit the deck and get really low and humble. You know what I've called you to do? I've called you to do this further thing in your career, and you're afraid, and you're living in fear, and you're not trusting me. And I've said, it's time to launch out. Let's go. I'll be with you. I am more than a conqueror. It's time to go. But you're living in this fleshly place of fear rather than going to reckless abandonment of faith in God. And I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'm here. Let's do this thing. Well, God, I kind of did, and I kind of put some feelers out. It just didn't work out for me. And so, no, that was partial obedience, but you didn't commit all the way in. You're disobeying me. Let's go. And he's calling us forward. And he says, because you disobeyed, I'm taking the kingdom from you. Ooh, if y'all don't have the fear of God when it comes to obeying him, when he says it's time to move, if we have the fear of man more than we have the fear of God, we are in a very dangerous spot, because you're going to live based upon public opinion. Look at that little butterfly. How about that? That was cool. Hey, y'all be thankful. Until we put a new roof on, there were bats flying around here. And now they're butterflies, so that's great. And he says, because all the other people wanted to do this, I thought we should just go with what the other people wanted, the fear of man. Can I read one more scripture to you? Is it okay if we read two passages of scripture in church? In Numbers chapter 20, there's a man by the name of Moses and Aaron. If you're using our Bibles, it's page 110. Moses and Aaron are here, and Moses is leading the people out of Egypt, and they are now in the wilderness. And so they're in this desert, barren land. They've got no food. They've got no water. It's just a terrible situation. And God is about to have this encounter with Moses, and the people are complaining, why did you bring us out of Egypt? There's nothing here. You're terrible leaders. Golly, you didn't even bring food to this party. Like, come on, are you kidding me? And they're just constantly giving him feedback. Moses and Aaron, it says they go into their tent, and the glory of God meets them. And they fell on their faces before God. They had this encounter. The glory of God comes upon them in this moment. And God speaks to Moses. He says, Moses, I'm going to do something awesome, and I'm going to use you, and it's going to be amazing. Are you ready? When you walk out of here, there's going to be a rock, a dried up, nasty old rock. I want you to speak to that rock and tell it to have water come out of it. It's going to be awesome. You ready to do this? Moses, literally, he walks out of the best church service ever. The pastor didn't even go over 3 minutes. I mean, it was awesome. God met him. It was powerful. And Moses walks out of the presence of God, and as soon as he sees the people, he's hit with anger. And he grabs his rod, walks up to that rock, and beats it. Boom! Boom! He whacks it. And he says, all y'all are rebels. Can you imagine? You just met God face to face, and your response is, rebels. And he starts whacking this rock, and out comes this geyser full of water. And all of the people are like, whoa, they're thirsty. They're drinking all this water. It takes care of the people and nourishes them. God spoke to Moses, and he says, you disobeyed me. And because you disobeyed me, this land that you're called to lead them to, you're called to lead them to the promised land, you can't go in. God said to speak to the rock. He didn't say to start whacking it with your staff. What's he called you to do? He told you to call up your son and talk to him. Well, you called him and left him a voicemail. You sent him a text. You wrote him a letter. You haven't called and talked to him. And God takes the kingdom from King Saul. God took the promised land from Moses. God's not playing whenever he calls us to do something, to fully do it all the way. And King Saul says, but I've sacrificed all this for you. And God says, what do I have need of that? I want your heart. I don't want the blood of goats and rams. I want your heart. And your heart is not inclined to obedience. Your heart is inclined to go the ways of the flesh. And you hold on to this stuff. And you hold on to, I'm not going to forgive. I know you've called me to it, but I won't. Fine, I'm going to start drawing back things from you. So let me ask this. What was the last thing that God called you to do that you didn't do? I would say let's go back to that and do it. Because you might just be stuck. He's not going to lead you into more things whenever we didn't do number one. God, hey, I'm just going to keep on moving on. And we're on step 10. No, you need to go back to number one. I need to do this. I need to start incrementally moving in a lifestyle of obedience to the Lord. Where has he called you to take a leap of faith? Where has he called you to invest? Where has he called you to pull back? Where has he called you to repent? Where has he called you to have conversation? What has he called you to do that you say no? Or you say, yeah, kinda. And he says, if that's the attitude, I'm going to pull back from you. This is a hard challenge, but I'm not doing it as a rebuke. I'm doing it so that we can be free, so that we can run into the fullness that he has called us to do. Let's be obedient kids that the Father delights in giving us the kingdom. He delights in giving us the promised land, that he would never pull back from us. He would continue to unload on our lives because we have a yes in our heart. Every step of the way, we say yes. Come on, let's kill that flesh. Let's take the head of the enemy fully and completely. Those things that we just kind of hold on to, let's wipe them out of our lives. And we say, Jesus, I am free to run, baby, run into all the things that you have called me to do. Would you stand with me this morning? Let's close in prayer. Perhaps the takeaway is I need to identify those things that are jamming me up from fully going to obedience. For King Saul, it was the opinions of everybody else. Maybe for Moses, it's anger. The haters are loud. He's just ticked off. What is it that you're just angry in your home? Maybe there's unforgiveness. I don't know. What are those things that just jam you up from fully going all in on obedience? Maybe you're like, God, I just don't even hear you at all. I need ears to hear. Mine is, I can hear, I just don't always listen. Jesus, I ask you, give us ears to hear and a heart to obey. Jesus, I pray that our hearts will be so sensitive to obey you fully. We pray that this church would be a church that just runs after what you've called us to. That we would not live with big egos, but we would live with humble hearts. Lord, I pray that we would not defend our ways like King Saul defends himself. Lord, I pray that we would not try to show you our righteousness, saying, hey, look how awesome I am. Look at the sacrifice that I've already made. God, we boast in nothing. We say, just give us a heart to obey you. Not partial obedience, but full obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.